Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks. Hey, that was even better than Sunday morning. I appreciate it. I know, the start of Sunday morning, I was like, my goodness, we needed a little more coffee or something, a little more worship time. But thank you. It's good to be back with you again this evening. So, Pastor was trying to figure out how he was going to be there and be here. And I said, well, I can do here if you need me. And so then he's like, well, I don't want it to be like I'm not doing my job. I was like, well, you know, doing a funeral and preaching at the same time, that's kind of hard for anyone. I think pick one. You're doing your job. So we're going to do our job and we're going to support him and help him by being here, right? Amen. So, well, let's pray and get into the word. Father God, we just come before you. Oh, thank you, Father God. I thank you for Brother Hubert that's going on, Lord God. I just thank you for his life. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for his life and that the things that he did quietly, that he's being rewarded for openly right now. I thank you that you're with the family, Lord God, and you give them peace and you give them comfort. But, Lord, we glory in the homegoing of your saint, of your child. And I thank you, Father, for that and his life. And Lord, right now we just ask you for open hearts and ears to receive your word that I speak by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father, that you lead us and guide us through your word tonight and that we can do all things through you, by you, because we are in you and you are in us. In Jesus' name, amen. I just love to pray. I could just sit here, and that's all we do tonight, is just pray. I enjoy it. And so when the Lord had laid this on my heart about embracing him and some of the points that had gone along with it, I enjoyed it greatly. And I've just been meditating on it. And it's in my heart bigger than it's like I can speak it out. So that's why I asked the Lord, help me, you know, help me to communicate and convey. And so I just want to recap over a few things, and then We're gonna talk about some biblical embraces, if you will, biblical embraces, and maybe some biblical failed embraces. You can look at it that way. But honestly, we're embracing something, whether it is God or the circumstance. We are embracing something. So in Isaiah 40:29-31, we said, he gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even you shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord will expect, look for, hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. I love that. But again, that's only true if we embrace it. And we had a living picture of that Sunday morning who's back again this evening because we celebrated their 80th birthday. So they made it from their 80th birthday to this Wednesday, praise God. And so we saw that in Brother Gary. We saw where he said, the best is yet to come because he's embracing life. And so when you embrace the life of God, you embrace his word, it becomes these things to you. We can read this and we can kind of go over it and go, that's nice. That's nice. Gosh, I'm so tired. Gosh, I just don't have energy for today. I don't think I've got energy for tomorrow if I took a 5-hour nap. Well, what are you doing? You're embracing the situation and the circumstance at the moment. And so let's go also to Isaiah 41:10. And I'm reading in the Amplified Bible right now. And I left my preaching Bible in the car and brought my other Bible. So I can preach from this Bible, right? So, but 41:10, it says, fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you. I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. Sunday, I spoke about how my father, this verse meant something to him as he was going through cancer. And I shared how it didn't give me peace when he was talking about holding the hand of God, because to me, I'm like, I need you to let go of that hand because I don't want you to cross over to glory holding that hand, you know? But as I got in the car, then the Lord, it was, you know, the scripture verses that he had given to me. And then it was like, go back and look at that. He will harden you to difficulties. Those things that you see, that they won't faze you. Circumstances won't faze you. You can look around and maybe you don't have food in the cupboard. Maybe there's gas stations without gas. But it hardens you to that because you know you're holding on to God and you're victorious. So it's not a hard heart as in you're being harsh and you just don't care. It doesn't faze me. It doesn't knock me off my rocker. It doesn't set me back to where I don't know how to be in life. And so it's a strengthening, and you can cash in on that. You can embrace that. You can accept that and hold on to it. And so to embrace is to hold, to accept. We were talking about there's two parts of an embrace, where you hug someone. You know, and I was talking about that my son, he likes to cuddle, but my grandchildren, you know, when he does, they're like, stop, Matthew. Was even last night, we were at a ball game and Matthew was there and he was trying to hold on to Josiah, and Josiah just puts his hand out and looked at him like, this is not happening. There's two parts of an embrace. I know that my dad was a lifeguard, and he was talking about when people would be drowning, that they fight you. Because in that moment, they'll try to push you down to try to get out of the water. And so you would have to, he said, what you had to do is you had to pick them up and throw them. Pick them up and throw them ahead. And so, and that wasn't because you're trying to hurt them. You're trying to save their life. But if they don't embrace that moment and they fight against it, it causes the wrong thing. Well, we don't need to fight against the Word of God and His promises. When the Word is spoken to us and it causes us to change or correct course, then we need to change and correct course with the Word of God, not give a list of, well, I don't understand, and well, this is the way I've always done it, and Lord, you must be mistaken. That's the complete wrong way to handle that. We see that with Peter. Peter, let's go ahead and turn there. I have a whole list of things, but we'll go ahead and jump down to Peter right here. Let's go to Peter. Let's go to Matthew 26. I say Peter because I have scripture verses there too. So Matthew 26, 31. It says, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, surely I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. So he said, and so said all the disciples. So same chapter, go to verse 69. Now Peter sat outside the courtyard. Jesus has already been taken. He's already been taken. He's been betrayed. He's been taken. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said, said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." In other words, your accent, yeah, you sound like you were with him and around him. You're from that area. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and he wept bitterly. This is so sad. Jesus was trying to help him. He was like, "Listen, this is what's going to happen." He's like, I'm never. And he's going, "You all will, but before the night's over, it's going to happen." "No, not me." And then he did. Well, if he would have embraced what Jesus said, he might have taken that under consideration. How that could have played out differently for Peter? It wasn't going to change the course of the night. Jesus was going to die. But think about Peter. If he would have accepted the words of Christ that night, it might have helped him probably not beat himself up later. The whole, he went out and wept bitterly. Have you ever had correction in your life or the word of God and you missed it? You didn't do it and it cost you? It hurt? It cost you? Well, what if he would have heeded? He could have missed out on some guilt, probably. He could have missed out on some things. But praise the Lord, he did not stay there. And when the Lord came to him and they met, the Lord asked him three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you?" I think it's so Peter, yes, yes. But he could kind of redeem himself almost. You know, it's kind of like, well, do you love, you know, all right, you just said that three times. But he said, "Go and feed my sheep." He gave him direction. Of course, Peter's, you know, "Well, what about him? What about that guy over there? What about?" And he goes, "Don't worry about him. What about you?" When the Lord speaks to us about us, which is what he's going to do, receive it and embrace it. Pray it out in full devotion time. Having that union with him, that conversation with him. What we're going to see tonight in every one of these examples, and even the example of Habakkuk, was they had a union, a fellowship, a devotion time with the Lord. And even though some of these had that time with the Lord, Peter was one-on-one right there, they still stumbled. But this is what I love about Peter. Go to 1 Peter. John, you're going to have to go get my preaching Bible. Will you please? My key is in my purse. Will you go out to my car and get my preaching Bible? I'm so sorry. This Bible's a good Bible, and it works. It's just, I liked the way the other one turns. 1 Peter 5:5-11. It says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strength, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." This is what I love about this. Peter had a moment. Peter had a few moments. Thank you so much. Peter had a few moments, and this was the revelation that came out of it. He had revelation knowledge. that he walked in and then he shared with others. When we accept the word of God, then there comes that revelation. We talked about the vision. God gives us a vision. He gives us a revelation. He gives us a help and helps us to get through things. And what he realized here is if you are clothed with humility, if you are humble, then the Lord can lift you up. He can give you the grace to conquer things. It causes you to resist pride. Sometimes we can think, I know what I'm doing. I got this. That's being lifted up in pride and knowing our own way. And that's what we want to reject. We want to reject the devil. We want to resist him. And it says the God of all grace who has called us, that after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's what the embrace of God does. That's what the humbling of our heart does, going to the Lord, holding on tight, grabbing hold of, meditating. Not my will, but your will be done here, Lord God. I lay down my thoughts, my will, my desire in this and say, direct me. I want to make sure I'm lining up with you. Peter did not desire or will that the Lord Jesus be crucified, but we know it had to be done. If Peter would have just said, not my will, but your will be done, as Jesus had just got done praying with his Father God, he would have had a Holy Ghost strength come upon him as Jesus did to walk this out. Thank God he had the revelation later on. He came back. So even if we miss it, there is always room to come back and the power to continue on and to be settled. Because after you've suffered a while, sometimes we get the, and there's, it hurts, but we have room. And the Lord graces us and he equips us and he establishes us and he perfects those things that concern us. And so we don't have to fear. So the situations of life. And Peter, we see other examples of him too. So let's go to Luke 5:1. And here it says, so it was that the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners to the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What I love about this passage of scripture here is Jesus, he's a fisherman. He's just out there fishing. And Jesus asked to use his boat, and he says, sure, they'd been out all night toiling. They had worked all night long. They'd fished all night long. This is his profession. This is what he knows. And Jesus is speaking the word. Something about what Jesus was saying there must have triggered Peter as he was listening, that when Jesus said, go out there and throw down your net, just go ahead and throw your net over there, that he said, listen, I've worked all night long, but nevertheless, at your word, I will let down your net. He heard the word, and it sparked something on the inside of him that he embraced the next words that came out of his mouth. And when he did, his boat was filled. Put yourself in that position of hearing the word, because hearing the word does what? It builds faith. Faith comes by hearing. That's a when you put an ing on there, that's continuous. So we know that just in school, you put an ing on there, it's continuous. Hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God so that when the word of God is spoken, doesn't matter if you worked all night. Doesn't matter if you toiled. Doesn't matter if you've, you know, whatever it is you've been doing all night and all day, when the Lord gives you the inspiration to do it and gives you the word to do it, you say, nevertheless, at your word, you hold on to it, you receive it with the action of faith, then there is an instant feeling in your life. There's an equipping. There's a solution. It would have been real easy for him here to look at the circumstances, but he did not. We also know, let's go over here. We'll just stick on Peter for a while. Let's go to Matthew. We'll go to Matthew 14. Now, he's been with Jesus. He's a follower of Jesus. So Matthew 14:22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. I love that Jesus is always going off to pray. So he's our example. Go off to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, come to me, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." He had the word of God. He accepted the word of God. He acted on the word of God, and he went. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus, to go to Jesus. He did it. He got the word. The circumstances were already there. The wind was contrary. The waves were contrary. He acted in the midst of the situation, during the circumstances, on the one word from Jesus, which was come. He did it, and he walked on the water, and he was on his way. Okay. But. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, he caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Why do you doubt?" In that moment, I wonder, I mean, this is me wondering. This is me with the daydream moment. This is me. I wonder if Peter's like, "Yeah, baby, I'm out here on this water. Look, I am on the water," and starts looking around because he gets his focus. He gets his eyes off Jesus. I wonder if in that moment he got lifted in pride. And he had a very humbling moment because he immediately, like a rock, began to sink. It says, immediately he began to sink, or he beginning to sink, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. See, at least Peter knew enough that when he began to sink, beginning continuous action, he was going to continue until he sank. As he was sinking, he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus reached out his hand, jerked him up, and said, "You little faith, why'd you doubt?" When we get in a moment where we receive the instruction of the Lord, be careful for that little pride thing. Stay humble so that you resist the devil. You stay in that attitude of faith that's holding on and embracing God, knowing that that embrace is what's carrying you through the situation. Because when you get away from that, and you can start looking around and feel like you are sinking when you were walking. But don't beat yourself up. Ask Jesus. Embrace him once again. Full devotion. Jesus. Peter did that, and Jesus was right there. So we see from Peter all kinds of things of receiving the word of God, acting on the word of God, receiving the word of God, and then falling in the midst of it, and then not even receiving the word of God because he thought he knew himself so well. In our Christian walk, see, Peter began out just a fisherman, almost, I guess you'd call him like, I don't know what he was like as a Jew, but he's just your average, ordinary, hardworking man, okay? Let's just say that. I won't say that he was carnal or a sinner, because I don't know Peter. So we'll just say he was a hardworking man, he was out there laboring, and then he hears the words of Jesus. He probably wasn't schooled like the priests were in that day. He might not have been schooled. He probably didn't go to Rhema Bible College of the Jews back in the day, you know. He wasn't in that. But he heard the words of Jesus, and then Jesus said, throw your net over there. And he acted on it. And he did it in simple faith. Then we see him go a little further. He's been walking with Jesus. He's been ministering with Jesus. I'm a disciple now. We see him with Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus walking on the water. And he has enough confidence to say, let me come with you. Where you go, I want to go. You're walking on water, I want to walk on water. So he does. But then in the midst of that, he begins to sink. Because he starts looking at circumstances. The circumstances were already there. I just wonder about the pride thing. Then later on, full disciple of Jesus, he's been one of the ones that's gone up to the mountain, had the revelations, you know. He's been one of the chosen three. He's had some real moments. And Jesus is like, you're going to deny me. And he's like, no, I'm not. Nope. Lifted up in his own knowledge and pride. And then he does it. And then he writes a letter and speaks on resist pride. So this is my conclusion to this, or my thought if you want to. And I believe that we can see it in this progression. Be careful in our Christian walk to not get prideful as we've had time with the Lord. In our growth with the Lord. I've been walking with Jesus for 25 years. I've heard that. I know that. All those scripture verses you're saying, I know that. That's a sweet little message you're preaching right now. Been there, done that. I know that. I know about Peter. Thank you. Check that off my list. We need to be careful of our entitlement. And be careful of our walk and familiarity that we won't get lifted up in pride, but stay in a state of humility before the Lord. Not my will, but your will be done in these things, that I have your insight, that I have your knowledge, that I walk in the promises of God. Your will is that I am healed. Your will is that I am prospered. If there's something I'm missing in these areas, you reveal it to me. And then someone comes along and says, hey, have you seen this scripture verse? I don't know. I was praying for you the other day, and this scripture verse came to me, and I just wanted to give it to you. And be like, oh, yeah, I know that verse. No. Take that. Read over it. If it ministers to you, meditate on it. Because it could help us get through our journey. So as I was meditating on that, I just saw that in a different way today. As I was meditating, is be careful of the pride of your walk with the Lord and your embracement of him. Because really, it doesn't have a whole lot to do with you. It's all about what he did for you and you receiving it. I just rest in him. He's the one carrying me. I'm just holding on and letting him. Don't get so wrapped up. If I'm holding on with all my might and I am standing on this verse and I'm clinging tight to the Lord and I, be careful for the eyes in your walk with the Lord, because it can cause you to trip and stumble. and you might start to sink. But if you do, call out to the Lord, and he'll immediately jerk you right up. Not jerk a knot in you, but jerk you right up. Amen? All right, y'all are starting to get a little serious. Maybe I got getting deep. But anyway, the embraces of God. So there's been all kinds of scripture with embrace and not embrace, and they had the word. And so Genesis, let's go to Genesis 2:16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now let's go to 3:1-7. So Jesus just said that to Adam. Eve's not even been made yet. No rib's been taken out. He says this to Adam, because right in the next one it says, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So this was his direct conversation with Adam. No devil has been around talking to him. You know, this is him and Adam. He created Adam, and then he's giving him instruction. So it's untainted. It's pure. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts. This is why I don't like snakes. Because, well, I mean, why did the devil pick him? I don't know. It's just my thought. I don't like snakes. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. I mean, a tree desirable to make one wise, lifted up in pride. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her. With her. When the Lord gave the instruction, she wasn't there. But Adam was. And then when the devil was sitting there talking, or the serpent was sitting there talking to him, the devil was in him talking to him and everything. Adam didn't say nothing. He just sat there with her. And then he ate it. I mean, I can't be too upset. There's things I've done that, I mean, the Lord told me and I did anyway. So, you know, I couldn't say that I'd have done better. You can't either, because then you'd be prideful and you'll sink. That's what we've just learned tonight. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. That's a horrible discovery in my eyes. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. It is. It's a horrible revelation. Ooh. And so it's like the worst dream ever, right? Nightmare ever. And you wake up from. And so they're sitting there, and all of a sudden they've got that wisdom. And what did they gain from it? They were naked. That was some great wisdom right there. I mean, they didn't say they were wiser than God. It doesn't say that they knew their future. It says, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. I mean, my goodness, what a dynamic revelation to have. And so they sewed some fig leaves together, and then they decided to hide from God. Here's our great revelation. We need to be careful of the voices that we allow to speak to us and what we follow and what we embrace in our life and what we go after. Just because somebody says it doesn't make it true. And if it doesn't line up according to the Word of God, then we need to get far away from it. And it needs to line up exactly with the Word. Because when you read this, some of the things that God said to them isn't what she quoted back to the devil. She didn't even quote it right. Because the Word said, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it you will surely die. That's what he said. And then the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. He didn't say anything about touching it. She added to the Word. Don't add to the Word of God. Read it for what it says. It doesn't need an interpreter. Read it. The Holy Ghost is the interpreter of the Word. It is the revelation giver. It is the vision giver. There have been times in my life where the Lord has ministered to me, and I got all excited. I'll take my watch off because I know I've been talking 35 minutes, but go there. Okay. So I know that the Lord has given me something, and I started getting revelation, and I started getting knowledge, and it was exciting. And then instead of soaking on that, instead of meditating on that and pondering it and going over it and praying about it like Habakkuk did, that's what I love about that, is because he went to the Lord, he looked at circumstances, he went to the Lord. The Lord told him, I'm going to do something outstanding. Habakkuk goes back to him a little concerned about what he said and saying, if I need to be corrected here, but I want your word, I'm going to sit here. And then the Lord comes back to him and tells him, write the vision down, make it plain on tablets that you can run with it, and it's for an appointed time, so wait for it. And then he tells him to live by faith. And then Habakkuk goes into a prayer. Habakkuk starts, he starts seeing things. Woe to the wicked. At first, he's concerned about the wicked. How can you let them exist here doing all this evil stuff? How can this happen? And then he's like, woe to the evil and to the wicked. Because their end is not good. We need to pray. Pray. And then he starts praying out. And he starts praying out the vision of the Lord and what the Lord is revealing to him. And then despite all the circumstances, though there's no gas in the pump, no, there's no whatever out there, I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He starts to praise and give victory and glory and honor. But what if the Lord would have come back to Habakkuk, he says, I'm going to do something outstanding and wonderful and marvelous. And Habakkuk's just like, oh yeah, the Lord's going to do something. Oh, the Lord's going to do, he said something outstanding. He's going to deliver us from all of this. Oh, and he just starts running with that instead of pondering it and waiting for the full revelation of the Lord. Be careful that when the word comes, to not just go into hyperdrive and start sharing all the revealed knowledge and word that the Lord's given you. It might need to soak and simmer for a while. One of my favorite meals that my mom makes is country fried steak or cube steak. And she'll, fry it up, and she'll take it up, and then she'll make the brown gravy. Oh, I like brown gravy. Don't like white gravy. I like brown gravy. And she'll cut up the onions in it real thin and put it all in there. And then she'll return that cube steak to that gravy, put the lid on it, and let it sit there and simmer on low for a little while. Oh, that's so good. That is so good. And then she always made rice. She made rice a lot. We ate it with, so we'd have gravy and that. And I like to cut it up, and I'd put that on top of my rice and put the gravy on. And then, that was good. I enjoyed that. And butter beans, if we had butter beans, And then my mom would make those little mayonnaise rolls, too. I don't know if y'all make those, but she'd make these little mayonnaise rolls. They're so good. And you put a little dab of butter on them, and you'd sop all that up. Oh, y'all are hungry now, aren't you? So mama can cook. She'd do all that. But I remember one time we were running. It was close on time, and it didn't really have time to simmer or whatever. And we didn't have time to put it back in, and we took it. Well, that meat was a little tough. And I got choked. I remember, because we were sitting there eating, and we were watching Andy Griffith, and because we had a bar, and there was Andy Griffith over here, and I start to get choked. Well, I'm over here, everybody's watching over there and eating, and I'm choking, and they're watching Andy Griffith, and I'm like, and they're patting me on the back and everything, and I lived. See, I'm here. I lived. But I remember it was a little tough. Mom was like, it was tough tonight, and we just didn't have time, and blah, 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 blah. Well, sometimes I think we'll do that on the Word. We got it cooked, and we go with it and everything, but we don't let it simmer. We don't sit there and we're chewing it, and then we're wanting to share it with everybody. This great revelation of the Lord, great, and then we put our insight to it, and we twist it, and we make it something it was never meant to be. And then we stumble and we fall, and we can cause others to stumble and fall. The Word needs no interpretation. It just needs to be read for what it is. And when the Lord speaks to you, ponder, meditate on it. Let Him reveal it to you. Let the Holy Ghost wash over you and give you other scripture verses. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 scripture verses all about this. And if it was my husband preaching, there'd be 100. Because I want to make sure that's right, and that thought, and then ponder it and meditate on it. Give it some time. Not just go out and start speaking things, because I might not get it right. Eve didn't get it right, and it hindered her. It hindered her. And all she got out of it was realizing that she was naked, and it was going to hurt real bad to have children. That's what she got out of that. So there was her wisdom. Glory to God. And so, I'll go to one more passage, and I think that'll be it for this evening. Let's go to Genesis 26. Genesis 26, 1. This came to me during the pandemic, and there was no toilet paper, and there was a lack of toilet paper in the stores, and there was becoming a lack of meat in the stores, and different things, and so then I was reminded of it, and then this week, there's gas issues out there, gasoline issues, and so it brought this back up to me. But I love it. Genesis 26, 1. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Amalek, king of the Philistines, in Gear. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. He did as his father did. He saw his father walk this out. But the Lord told him, don't go to Egypt, because Abraham did. He said, you dwell here. I want you to go down to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. Isaac was blessed in the time of famine because he obeyed God. Don't be concerned about the circumstances that surround you. You be concerned about obeying God, and you will be blessed. You be blessed in the land that God has called you to, not over here and over there running this way and that. You do as God has asked you to do, embracing him and his word, and you will be blessed. When the pandemic was going on and the shutdown was going on, John and I came together and we agreed that our needs were met by God Almighty, not Food City or Walmart or anywhere else. But that our provider was God Almighty. So when we needed something, that couldn't be possible because it says that the Lord is our shepherd. And in him, I have no want. That means I don't have need. So we stood on that and we believed God that as things came up, that it would be provided for us. We would have direction. And so we went out. We were meeting my family, actually, for something. We're getting together. And, I know what it was. Jeremiah's baseball had gotten canceled because this season they did it later. But Jeremiah wanted the whole family to get together to play a baseball game. So we were going to mom's to do this. And so we went. And so we stopped at a grocery store. We went. We needed to pick up some supplies. And we stopped at a grocery store that we never shop at. Right? We never shop at. We never went in. And do you know what we found in there? I found the soap I needed, the hand sanitizer that we needed, and the toilet paper that we needed, and they had ample meat, all the things we needed, and we had our pick of what we wanted. And that happened time and time again. We never had need or want. So today, John had his testimony about gas. I did too. And just had an impression to go to a certain store, and I went to go get my nails done, and the man looked at me, and he goes, "You should go to Speedway to get your gas." I said, "Oh, do you know that there's gas there?" He goes, "I just think you should. I don't know that there is." And he started laughing. I was like, "Okay." I said, "Well, that's where I was going anyway." Sure enough, I pull in. There's just a few cars, and I thought, "What in the world?" And I look over, and there was a gas tanker sitting right there, and they were just finishing up filling those tanks. Well, praise God. Praise God. So whatever it is, you have faith in God. You receive him and embrace him, and no matter the situation. And then if you've been doing this for years, you're 80 years old and you've been doing this all your life. I'm going to ride that for a while. I like that. You've been doing this for a while. You just stay in that place of I am humble before God. And whatever he says I'm going to do, listening and hearing the voice of God. I'm not going to add or take away, but I'm going to do as he's told me to do. And if I'm corrected, I will be corrected. And I'll stand in a place of humbleness. And when you do that, it will be well with you. You will have the strength to carry on and do what you need to do. You will have the ability, and it will harden you to situations to where you're not falling apart, but you'll walk on the water. And in the hard times, you'll walk through it unhindered. Because no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. In all your ways, you acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. And it can be well with you, even in a day of famine. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, thank y'all for sharing, letting me share with y'all, and sharing the pulpit with me. I appreciate it. And Pastor will be back with Danny Johnson on Sunday. We have graduation. Do you have anything so I can just dismiss? Wow. All right. Y'all are dismissed. See y'all Sunday.